Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
Every religion seeks to answer the question, where did we all come from? The LDS Church teaches that all people pre-existed in heaven with the Father before we were born on earth. But the Bible teaches something very different. The Bible teaches us that man did not have life until after God created the world. The Bible says that when God created the world, He formed man of the dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. In other words, Adam was not a living being until after he was created by God and was filled with the breath of life. The LDS Church says that we were spiritual beings first and then were born into natural bodies. But the Apostle Paul says the exact opposite. In comparing Adam and Jesus, he teaches us that it is not the spiritual that is first, but the natural, and then the spiritual. The first man was from the earth, a man of dust. The second man is from heaven. Our physical, natural birth precedes any spiritual existence, not the other way around.
What you just heard was an excerpt from one of several excellent videos that you can find at GodLovesMormons.com. Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry, and with me today is Eric Johnson, my colleague at MRM, but we also have the producers of those videos, Rich Sanford and Bradley Campbell, and they have been kind enough to talk about what they have produced, and we are real excited about these videos because we feel they are very good at very concisely explaining some intricate teachings of the LDS faith. It delves into some of the historical issues as well. So we wanted to introduce you to our audience, and hopefully people will go to GodLovesMormons.com and subscribe to your channel.
And I want to mention, too, that at MRM, we believe in you guys so strongly that we have incorporated your videos throughout many of our articles. In fact, we have an A through Z guide through many of the explanations. Pre-existence, for instance, we have your video up that we just heard part of. And so, and also on our YouTube page, we have incorporated a lot of their videos. So we at MRM highly recommend these videos, and we don't just recommend anybody. So that hopefully is a stamp of approval that other people who normally listen to us will give you guys a chance and see what you guys have to say.
The doctrine of preexistence. Of course, this is a very unique teaching, at least the way it's understood, according to Mormonism. What motivated you in producing a video dealing with this subject? Why did you do that?
The first reason is that I had a handful of people who had come out of Mormonism, come to saving faith in Jesus Christ, were growing. They loved the word. They began to articulate the gospel very clearly. And somehow, months or even in one case, years later, after becoming believers, we found out that they believed in the preexistence, and we just never thought about it. It just never came up in conversation. And I think it came up around the table one time a couple years after a good friend of ours had gotten saved. And she just said, wait, hold on. We don't believe in the preexistence? It was that kind of thing. And it was like, oh, goodness. Well, we realized we haven't talked much about that. It's one of those things that sometimes seems the last to go of parts of Mormon doctrine. So we don't mean it as an introduction, the first thing I bring up on the street with a person necessarily. But it is the kind of thing that people just want to know, what does the Bible actually say about it? And I do think that there are significant doctrines that are tied up into a Mormon view of preexistence that are really helpful to deal with. And so that's why we made a video.
I've also found that this doctrine influences the way we talk about salvation often, because the idea of preexistence is that we are all children of God, literal spirit children. And because of that, some of the particulars of salvation, people say, well, what kind of father would do this? Or they have emotional objections to bits of the gospel on the basis of us at one point being
getting back to the Father.
Exactly. Yep. And so dealing with preexistence sometimes becomes a part of sharing the gospel, because we have to establish we are not initially inherently children of God. We must be adopted as sons.
I think you raise an excellent point on that, because it just shows how bad theology can infiltrate a lot of other theology down
that's
the
right,
road.
Yeah. That's right. It influences it at the very least.
Right. And I've had a lot of Latter-day Saints do just that. They'll say, for instance, well, I can't imagine a good, loving, heavenly father right. punishing his children. And I've mentioned it many times on this show, a conversation I had with an LDS gentleman in front of the Fresno, California temple who used that argument. And when I raised the subject of the war in heaven,
demons.
And I asked him, who do you think was cast out? Were those not God's spirit children that became the demons? He had to stop, and he'd never even thought about that before.
That a third of all the
for one mistake.
Our view of eternal family is actually much fuller. 100% of God's children will be in heaven with them in the end. And that's something that's I don't think many of Mormons have thought through some of the implications of that. And so we wanted to not only help the Mormon who's thinking about this, but also help the Christian in conversation with the Mormon friends. Like, are there even any verses in the Bible that speak to this? That's what we heard from people a lot. So we wanted to help them with this video.
Well, what would you bring up if that topic was to come into the conversation?
I might start back in Genesis 2, the creation of Adam, mm-hmm. where it says that after he was formed from the dust of the earth, God breathed the breath of life into him. And at that point, it says, and he became a living creature. He was not a living creature prior to that. Whatever he was prior to that, it was dust, was not yet living. I like to start at the very beginning. But I'll typically very quickly get to Jesus. And the reason this is essential for us is because there is only one who has ever seen the Father. There's only one who knows the Father. There's only one who's ever heard his voice.
Or descended from heaven. There's another one. Jesus.
Clear language from Jesus.
He says at one point in the Gospel of John, you are from below, I am from above. You are of this world, I am not of this world. And that is just such a clear statement. It's a great verse when considering preexistence.
Rich, you raised an interesting concept here when you talked about all of God's children are going to be in heaven. Mm-hmm. And of course, we look at the children of God as those being born again.
In the New Testament sense, yeah.
Uh-huh. And even in Mormonism, that's not true, because even though Mormons like to feel that because they are loved by Heavenly Father, he would never cast them out, he doesn't, in effect, do that, even in the context of Mormonism, by these three levels of glory.
This is very true.
And if you are only good enough to get into the terrestrial kingdom, the second level of these heavens, God the Father is never going to look at you again.
Yeah.
You're going to be there, and you will never have any type of relationship with God the Father ever again. Now, Jesus is kind of a floater. He goes between the celestial and the terrestrial. But the idea of being with Heavenly Father, you can forget that.
If you won't be in his presence for forever. Exactly.
Correct. I brought that up with some Latter-day Saints, and again, that seems to be a subject that they tend to either not know about or want to ignore.
I've had a few, after weeks of studying through this with them coming back, will finally admit, well, technically the terrestrial kingdom will be like hell for you. And the reason is because you've always known you could have done better. And I'm like, well, let's call this what it is. There's heaven and a hell then, if that's really the idea. And so you see how this kind of view invades so many other parts
of
your doctrine.
Yeah, lots of other doctrines, yeah.
It really does.
I see this as being Hinduism's effect on Mormonism. Mm-hmm. You have our God.
Eastern effect.
And he was telling the truth, you know, that mm-hmm. they could become gods, and that would be the future of what Mormons hope to have. But the idea that how you acted in a previous life had an impact on where you would be born, what kind of family you would have, and everything else. Mm-hmm. And just based on your obedience to Jesus as being the Savior of the world, rejecting Lucifer, you were smart enough to be able to figure it out here. Therefore, you're going to be born according to your merit. And yeah. I find that's fascinating, because in this regard, Mormonism is more like Hinduism than it is Christianity.
Mm. Some of it's kind of embarrassing when we walk through that with people occasionally. I think that the view... they have a hard time. They try to just lean on the language that we're all children of God. And for the record, I try not to hammer. If a person says children of God, and what they mean by that is we're all human, we're made in the image of God, we let that pass. Yes, there is a sense in which we're children of God in that way. He's the Father of all creation, yes. But the New Testament picks up on that language and makes it way more salvific. It's an adopted into the family of God.
One of the verses that I've often heard Latter-day Saints bring up that they feel supports this view that we lived in some kind of a pre-existent state as one of God the Father and Heavenly Mothers, we should throw her in there as well, as their spirit children, is Jeremiah 1:5. Before I formed thee, I'm reading from the Joseph Smith translation, which I have to explain again. Sure. Translation is in quotes, but it reads very similar to the King James Version. Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee, and before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Latter-day Saints will say, see, before you were formed, I knew you. So obviously, that's talking about a father-son relationship. How would you respond to that?
I think that it's critical to note that the text does not say that you knew me. It's talking more about God's sovereignty and knowledge than it is talking about the very nature of Jeremiah.
And you don't need to get more than three chapters into the Bible to find that the word know and knowing is a Hebraism for intimate knowledge of. And so it's used all throughout the Bible to refer to that. Oftentimes it's even the sexual activity between a husband and a wife kind of thing. It's meaning more than just had a knowledge of. It's an intimate knowledge of. Yes, no Christian would deny that God had an utterly perfect, intimate, uncorrupted knowledge of Jeremiah prior to him ever being formed in the womb. We've always held to this. In fact, our views of God's foreknowledge and what he knows about the world prior to even making it and all of his purposes in that make that pretty clear to us. That he's not saying that he had a relationship with Jeremiah, a mutual knowledge relationship with Jeremiah.
I like bringing in Job. Job 38 is when God first addresses Job out of the whirlwind. God says this, where were you, speaking to Job, where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? And then he says, when the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy a couple of verses later. So God is saying, where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Where were you when the sons of God or the gods sang together? Mm-hmm. And in a Mormon context and view, he's right there. He's somewhere. That verse would be utterly meaningless in the context of a preexistence. If Jeremiah was present, and that's what Jeremiah 1:5 is saying, that they knew each other and he was right there and they interacted and Jeremiah said, I'll go down, I'll be the prophet, then Job 38 is utterly meaningless. The point is Job wasn't there. He was not with the rest of the heavenly beings. He was not yet existent. And the same is true for Jeremiah.
We've been talking to Rich Sanford and Bradley Campbell, the producers of a number of excellent videos dealing with the subject of Mormonism. You can find them at godlovesmormons.com. But Rich, you're also a pastor.
That's right.
Here in the Salt Lake Valley. Why don't you talk very briefly about your church? Where is it located? Mm. What are your services? Should anybody want to visit?
Amen. I have the great privilege of being a pastor at the Mission Church in South Jordan, and we just have an enormous heart for the Mormon people, and that's a major part of our ministry, is just preaching verse by verse through the Bible, and not only for the benefit of strengthening believers here in Utah, but also as a means to be helpful in reaching the lost Mormon people that we love.
And Aaron Shafawalaf, who works with us here at MRM, as well as Eric Johnson, attends there. Rich, I want to thank you for coming on and explaining some of the videos that you have, as well as the opportunity that we've had as a ministry to introduce what you are doing through these videos. I'm sure they're going to have an incredible impact. They're done very well, folks, and I strongly encourage you to go see them at godlovesmormons.com. Thanks for being on. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism.